Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, we're back at it again. It's Monday and it's Scary Cast time. This is Dr. John Stamey. So glad to have everybody listening out there in dear old radio land. And of course, I have some of my co-hosts here with me to have a great evening as we talk about the paranormal, UFOs, all kinds of crazy cool stuff. First of all, I would like to introduce Papa Stro, the maestro of wrestling. How are you doing up there in beautiful Emerald Isle, sir?
Alive and well. Survived the hurricane, survived the earthquake, all's good.
Oh, tell us about the earthquake.
Oh, there weren't much of it here, actually, you know. But it was more like towards like the mountains in North Carolina. Too bad. It was like a 5.1, they said.
Yep. Well, I'm just glad that you're here with us and all is well. And let's see, last week, I, as your erstwhile host, was not with us, and we did a retro on the Lizard People of Los Angeles because we were battling the hurricane, which actually didn't Columbia, South Carolina. Didn't touch anything in Myrtle Beach, but it destroyed, well, not destroyed, but it really beat up on Cherry Grove, South Carolina, right below the state line with North Carolina. So there was a good bit of hurricane around here. It just did not hit me, and that was great, but I was gone, and I was with one of the hosts, Robin McCray, and her family, and enough to take me in and keep me safe. And our man from Hollywood, sitting on his porch, Devin Tate. How are you doing?
I'm doing good, you know, just hanging in here. We actually also had a couple earthquakes a few weeks ago, but they were enough to jolt us out of bed, but luckily no damage here or anywhere near where I live.
Okay, well,
that's good. I'm glad you're
well. Absolutely.
Thank you.
Now, we haven't talked about it much, Devin, but you've got a special event coming up, a special music event coming up, correct?
I do.
Can you tell us just a little bit about it?
I do. So I have a new, I have a double CD coming out. It's a retrospective collection of my music from the last 10 years, from 2010 to 2020. So,
awesome.
Know, because of COVID and being home all this time, I had time to go back and kind of improve some of my older songs with some help from a couple producers. So I'm really excited to release that here at the end of this month. It's going to be coming out on August 28th.
Oh, that's
okay,
great.
Well, I'm going to personally ask you, can we do a special right after it's released?
I would be so happy. I would love that, Dr. John.
Good. Well, we will do it. I wanted to make sure we had the right date. I knew it was coming up around the end of the month. It's going to be wonderful. I'm looking forward to that because you're great. And I'm not going to say anything. I've got a lot of great things that I've been jotting down to say about you and your music and the last special that we did, which was a year ago. Not this Valentine's, but a year before on Valentine's,
yeah,
when we had used the She Squatchers, and we did we celebrated several of your songs. We celebrated a music video that Papa Stro was in. We'll get some Papa Stro action going on that night. It's going to be a blast. So we're looking forward to it, and we're going to really ramp up the promotion. I'm going to talk to VOC Nation about getting some ads out on that. We're going to talk with them this week because we've got another special. Papa Stro and I have a little project that we're going to be launching this Thursday night. It'll be coming out on VOC Nation. So got a lot of good things coming out from the Scary Cast crowd.
Awesome. Did we lose Dr. John?
Yeah, where'd he go? He was here a second ago, and then he's giving us the silent treatment.
Well, that was a great plug, Devin. Awesome. Can't wait.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm
so
excited. I'm probably going to do some Facebook Lives or something like that coming up, since that's the only real opportunity. I thought about going up to Hollywood Boulevard and just, you know, basically busking, playing my songs up on the Walk of Fame for whoever wants to walk by.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, we'll see. I've gone up to Hollywood Boulevard a few times lately, and there's actually, you know, it's not like it would normally be in the summertime, but there is actually a lot of people out walking around.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
That'd be great. When would the date would that be again in August?
So the CD is going to come out on the 28th, which I think is the last Friday of the month.
Okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I definitely would love to check that out. That'd be so cool.
Yeah, thank you.
It'd be amazing. Yeah.
I see a message. Oh, I think he's got a, yeah, he's got to restart, so he'll be joining us again in 3 minutes. Is it just you and me, Papa Stro, or is anyone else on the call?
I believe so.
Okay.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Well, I'm glad to hear you survived the hurricane. I was really worried about that, seeing it on the news and just knowing that you and Dr. John are out there so close to where everything was happening.
Right, right. It was just a bunch of debris from the trees to clean up, but other than that, it wasn't that bad. I mean, it was mostly wind and rain, honestly. So.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, I grew up in Kansas,
yeah.
So everybody, you know, thinks that I've lived through 100 tornadoes, but the fact is I never actually really seen one. There was
right.
I lived there for about 23 years, and one of them came really close to me, and unfortunately I was sleeping at the time, so I didn't wake up. It wasn't loud enough to even wake me up. It didn't get close enough to me, but it was about 2 miles away from where I was at that time, so
I guess.
I was pretty lucky. Yeah.
That's what I did with the earthquake. I totally slept through it. It was like hardly.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it went bad at all, really. Yeah.
Well, that's
no
good. We are glad you're still here. I would like to apologize to all of our listeners, but my router just reset itself. So I have never had that happen, because everything was fine anyway. So glad to be back. And as I said, you know, Devin's out there, and we're, you know, our man in Hollywood and Pop Stroh's at Emerald Isle. I'm now on my cell phone on my porch, so it's just great. We're having a good
all right.
time. And
must
Robert,
be those aliens, Dr. John. Must be those
Pardon
aliens.
Me?
Must be those aliens.
Well, it might be. Speaking of that as our topic, I mean, it really might be. One, you know, one never knows what the heck is gonna go on. So,
is that the ice cream truck? I just don't smell like an ice cream truck in the back.
I don't know. Maybe they'll have some chicken salad or tuna salad. That'd be great. It's just good that we're all here. And as I was saying, Devin's out there on his porch. The birds are singing, the sun is up, and the COVID is flying. So we're right.
Yeah, you know, speaking of birds, we put a hummingbird feeder out here, and they are insane. They come up every 5 or so minutes, and sometimes they're very territorial. So if one of them is drinking, the other one will kind of dive bomb it and kind of scare it out of the way so it
nice.
Can drink. It's really,
really,
really entertaining. That's what
my
days
get
have come
a...
to.
Oh my goodness! I mean,
there it goes.
Thank you. There it goes.
I want one of those push-up ice cream. Those orange push-up.
Do what?
Remember those? Remember those orange push-up ice cream bars?
Oh yeah, the orange push-ups. God, those were great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we need to get that when we have our big big reunion here that we've got to do very soon. We'll all have to have orange sherbet push-ups. Those are going to be great. It certainly will. And anyway, yes, you're right. It might have been the UFOs. I mean, they, you know, those aliens can get pretty nasty when they want to, because that's the topic of our show tonight. It's called Look Up in the Sky. It's UFO stories and more UFO stories. I keep having UFO things happen to me all the time. All right. I'm going to ask a personal, important question right here live on the air. Papa Stroh, have you ever had an experience with UFO, I mean, an up-close and personal experience with space aliens that you remember?
I had an encounter almost ironically just like in the scene from the movie Close Encounters, where the scene where Richard Dreyfuss is driving the electrical truck and he sees the lights behind him and he thinks it's another vehicle, but it turns out it's going up in the air and it's not a UFO, right? Well, I had one of those situations actually. Coming back from an event up north, and what I thought was what appeared to me lights from a vehicle behind me went straight up in the air, and I looked up and there was like lights above me. And just like went straight up in the stars and took off.
Was anyone else in your car?
Not just me.
With you?
No, it was just me, actually.
That's terrifying, didn't it?
Yep. Can I get an ice cream sandwich with that? That'd be great. Thanks.
Golly. Is that coming from Emerald Isle? Is that coming?
No,
okay.
Unfortunately. I wish it was.
Devin, is that coming from Hollywood?
Oh, are you hearing my wind chimes?
Oh, is that your wind chimes? Oh, okay, cool.
I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah, we thought that might have been the good humor truck or the bad humor truck with the UFOs. All right, so now, Devin, up close and personal, have you ever had an experience with a UFO?
Well, you know, back in the 80s when I was a kid, there was a lot of talk about UFO sightings in Russell County, which is where I lived as a kid. It was in the papers a lot, and there was actually a woman who wrote a book, and I believe she was abducted at some point. So we were very aware, and we were basically looking for UFOs. And so one night we were out looking for UFOs, and we saw this, what we thought was an airplane coming along. It was basically going from south to north. And we just, you know, we were kids, we had these little flashlights and we were flashing it up at the airplane. And all of a sudden the airplane just turned around and really quickly went back the other direction. And we thought, well, that couldn't be an airplane, because what? No commercial airplane would just turn around because some kids were shining a flashlight up at it, right? And then we were thought, and it went back really fast too. And so we always wondered what that was and what it could have been, because, you know, there was like four of us, so not one of us imagined it. We all saw it. It was looked like an airplane, but all of a sudden it just did a complete 360 and whoosh, went back the other direction. And it seemed to be because we were shining these lights at it. So that was crazy. I still don't know what that was.
Well, that's an interesting approach. No pun intended there. But, I mean, apparently maybe shining lights at UFOs might get them to turn around. I've got some UFO stories I want to share. These start with today or actually this past week, and they'll go back in kind of in my history. Some of them were featured in my book, Look Up in the Sky, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies. So the first one happened last week. As everyone knows, Cody Haynes and I do care Myrtle Beach. We've been doing them there for 6-7 years. It's a lot of fun. So a lady and her husband were getting a caricature, and she had a UFO tattooed on her shoulder. I said, well, that's neat. I've got a book about UFOs. She said, are you serious? I said, yeah. And I don't know what made me say this. I said, do you happen to have any implants in you that came when you were missing time? She said, how did you know? I said, well, I had one up until about 3 weeks ago. Now I have two. So she lifted her arm and she showed me where to feel on her arm, and her husband started laughing. He said, I don't believe any of that. And sure enough, there's a metallic implant in her shoulder on the upper part of her arm. And she said, well, where are yours? I said, first of all, let me show you the one on my right, you know, right below my shoulder. That's the one that's been there forever. And so she felt it. She said, yeah, that doesn't seem right. It's I can feel it move a little bit. I said, yeah, I know. And when I got a chiropractor to x-ray it, there was nothing there. And then I've got a brand new one from about 3 weeks ago, and it's a little lower on my arm. It's actually quite large. She said, oh, God, that's creepy. And then she pulled her hand away. She was, you know, going up and down feeling it. And she said, you know, a couple of my friends have started noticing that they have these. I said, well, more people have them than I believe they would think. So do either of you gentlemen happen to have in an arm or in a leg some kind of a bump that really you don't really remember getting, and it's there now, but and you can feel it, but it wasn't there earlier, whatever that means. Do either one of you have one of those?
I don't, and that would freak me out. And because I have red hair and very fair skin, I'm always aware of any little bump or anything different on my skin.
Yeah, because you might be a cancer lesion or something, right?
Right.
Okay, well, we're glad you...
Unfortunately, every bump that I've had, I pretty much felt that it hurt. So I would know it's there, you know.
Okay, Papa Zero. Okay, well, all right, well, we're zero for two there, one for one. The queen of ScaryCast, Robin, will be in momentarily. We will ask her. Yeah, that's the most recent thing. It was really interesting, and she had kind of a squarish feeling to it. I mean, it was very odd. It was on her bone, but you kind of feel a square. Now, I've got a good friend from up in Kingsport, Tennessee. His name is Logan, and he's going to be with us. He's got a special work detail for I think 2 more weeks, and he's going to come on. So we're going to talk about his experience seeing the blue people. Now, I know that, but there seem to be blue people, and they are from one of the star systems, maybe the Pleiades. Sure, but it turns out, Papa Stro and Devin, that a number of our Vietnam veterans had experiences with the blue people during the regime. So we're going to have a little here, and this will be a lot of fun.
Devin, yep. You could probably help me out. You could probably help me out with this. Remember that movie, The Watchmen? Remember that movie, The Watchmen, that came out a while back?
Yeah.
Who was the big muscular guy that was, like, all blue? He was bald-headed, and he was, like...
Oh, right.
I can't think of his name, but when he said blue people, it reminded me of him, the character, you know, from The Watchmen.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are more blue people than you think. There's also that group of people in Kentucky called the blue people, and they suffer from inbreeding, and they're not going to admit it. Over the last 100 years, they pretty much inbred with each other, and either directly when they were born or during puberty, they would start turning a bright blue color. And there's now they've determined that it is a silver deficiency, medicine for that. But still, occasionally one will come along that's actually blue. I've got a friend. Well, don't ever see that friend anymore. But in college, he happened to mention that he was one of the blue people. Showed me his skin, and it actually had a blue tint to it. That's the first time I ever heard about the blue people of Kentucky. But there are aliens, and there have been many, many reported sightings, but for some reason, people tend not to really register this about them. I think it's going to be interesting because we're putting together a book on the blue people. It's called Blue Universe, and I think it'll be very interesting when we find out some more of these stories. And as I've spoken with Devin, and Devin is going to work with me to try to find some people in the Los Angeles, Southern California area who have had this with the blue people. There are apparently a group of folks in Hawaii who have, and they were all in Vietnam. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of interesting what you find when you start investigating and as many sightings of blue people as UFOs, period, just from what I've heard. So we're working on that, and I've got some help from the wonderful Robin Moonshadow. She is a psychic, and she's actually been on our show. It was about 2 months ago. She's from Canada, and she studies the little people. She's kind of like the expert on studying them, but she also has a lot of stories about the blue people, because apparently two of the Canadian Indian tribes are very familiar with them. So we're working on all that. I think it's going to be a fun book. So I can't wait to see what happens.
I figured out who it is. The name of the character, Dr. Manhattan from The Watchmen.
Yes.
The big blue guy, yeah.
Well, now, is he related to Mr. Hollywood that comes on WCW Retro?
No. This is a fictitious character from The Watchmen, the movie The Watchmen.
Okay, well, I was just checking. I thought that he had an interesting name, Dr. Manhattan, and then we have Mr. Hollywood, and we have Papa Stroh. I mean, that'd be a great team for a six-way match. Anyway, that would be very, very cool. And of course, we would have to let
right?
Granny Hulkster be your manager.
Nah, she it wouldn't work out. She don't like bad guys. She don't like villains. So.
Oh, okay. That would be Chaz Moretti, right?
Hell yeah.
We can get Chaz Moretti.
Yeah.
That'd be great. That's exactly what we need to do. Yep. All right. So anyway, that started my train of UFO stories. They seem to really happen all the time. And then Papa Stroh was with me when we had a very unusual conversation. And Devin, I wish you'd been there. This is kind of cool. We were doing the second Bigfoot conference, and I had a fellow, Reverend Lynn Myers. Papa Stroh, do you remember Reverend Lynn?
Yeah.
Hard to forget.
Sure do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was very interesting, and very ecclesiastical, very, very Pentecostal, very interesting person. But what he told me, and he told the crowd there, is that he had had experiences talking to folks in the church who had been approached, approached is, I guess, the best way of saying, by space aliens, by the Grays.
Mm-hmm.
And several of them said that when they screamed, "By the blood of Christ, get out of here," they left. Apparently, they could not stand the invocation of the name Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so he gave his talk. And then I asked the head of Tennessee MUFON, that's a mutual UFO network, whose name will go unmentioned because of the nature of what I'm going to say. I said, well, why doesn't MUFON tell everybody that if you do that, then the aliens could certainly go away? And then the head of Tennessee MUFON said, well, we don't like to get into religion. And my comment right back was, I said, oh, so are you promoting alien abductions? Room got quiet as it could be. And my statement. And so I think it's very interesting that when you invoke the blood of Christ, the aliens will leave, and that does give rise to some theories that some of the aliens are demonic. Don't know, but it certainly gives a little bit of credence to that effect. So it's a very interesting, it deserves further discussion. In fact, it deserves its own book, but not until we get the Lizard Man companion and the Blue Universe finished. I think that's enough books for right now, at least for the next year, and the Haunted Ring, the book on wrestlers and ghosts. So as soon as we get that done, then we'll be all ready to go for this other UFO topic. I think it'll be great. Devin, have you heard of anything like that?
I have not, no.
Well, we're glad to educate one more person, is all I've got to say.
Yeah.
So now you know that the Lord's mm-hmm. Prayer can do a lot toward getting rid of an alien abduction.
Well, there must be a reason why I've remembered it all these years.
Well, that's good. And then comes my story. Are you guys ready for my story? It's a frightening story.
Sure, I'm ready.
It's true, and it is chronicled in my book, Aliens, UFOs, and Anomalies, Look Up in the Sky. It's a very true story. It happened over a period of a week. My father had passed away, and I had moved to Winston-Salem, and I was staying in the basement apartment that my aunt had in one of her houses. And I went to bed one night about 10 o'clock. I remember I always left the door open, to keep some light on in another room just so I wouldn't get up and trip all over everything if I needed to make a journey to the restroom. So I remember I was kind of going to sleep, and I heard a sound, and I turned my head up a little bit, but I couldn't move it. Then I realized I couldn't move anything. I was kind of frozen right there in the bed. And I heard a little more noise and a little more noise. I couldn't identify what it was. But I started to get frightened, and I remember I was sweating bullets. And I couldn't move. I mean, the bed beneath me was getting damp from sweating so much. And I remember my father had just passed away, but I felt like he was still with me. He was still checking on me down here where I was. He was a great dad. My dad was awesome. And I just said, "Dad, please help me. I don't know what's going on." And I couldn't look up, but I could feel the presence of two entities, two somethings that were walking into my room. It was terrifying. And about all I could do was turn my eyes, and I could see the clock, and it was about 1 a.m. And I said, "Dad, please get rid of these people, whoever they are." I could tell that, and I knew from my brief knowledge of things that I was being visited by aliens. And I was getting ready to be abducted. I just knew it. I could tell. I had that feeling. It just came all over me. And then, as if by magic, it seemed as though they left. After I asked my dad's spirit, who I knew was still with me, I felt like he got rid of them. And then the next thing I realized was it was about 3 o'clock, and I could move. I mean, the bed was damp, really damp underneath me. I didn't know what to do, but I was frightened. But I said, I got up, turned all the lights on, and went back to bed. So there we go. There's my story. So that happened on a Monday night. And then on Friday night, I was a member of a small it was a city club. It was a social club called the Twin City Club. I went up there like I always would on Friday evening to have a drink. And I walked in, and the place was pretty much dark. The lights were on, but there was no one there. And I walked down to the lounge, and there was Brian, the manager. And I said, "Brian, well, where is everybody?" He said, "Well, we didn't really have any reservations tonight, so I just let everybody go. And I knew that you always came up here about 6:30 to get a drink after work, so I just stayed, and I'll be your bartender." I said, "Wow, that's great." So he fixed me a drink. He fixed me my bourbon and Coke, and I sat there on the couch, and I said, "Well, since nobody else is here, I want you to lock the door, and I'm buying you a drink. We've never had a drink before together." He laughed. He said, "I'd like that." So he went and locked the door, so that nobody could come up the elevator to the fourth floor. And so he came back in, and he fixed himself a drink, sat down at the table, and we were laughing and talking and having a good time. And then there was this old black and white TV. I hate to tell you how old this story is. It was an old black and white TV. And, I mean, I think one of the members from the 50s had donated it. So, anyway, it was all of a sudden, it was 7 o'clock. And for some reason, we could hear this louder than anything else on TV. And now, Tales from the Unknown. We could hear it. And we both looked at each other because Brian and I were pretty good friends. We were social friends and everything. And we said to each other at exactly the same moment, "Did something happen to you Monday night?" And then we both were shocked. We both said it at exactly the same time to each other. Well, apparently, Brian had the same experience that I did. His wife was gone visiting her sister. He was there by himself, And all of a sudden, he felt something come into his bedroom, and then he passed out. And then he woke up about the usual time, about 6:30 or 7 in the morning, and I can't say what happened to him, but he felt like he had some missing time. But it was very unusual that we both said that to each other. We both had it at the same happen at the same time on Monday night. Very unusual, very unusual. So that, I think that was one of the most striking things that ever happened to me. Was that and I've lost track of him now. I wonder if he has an implant or something strange in his arm or leg that he can't explain. Because I know a lot of people do. I think a lot more people do than not. In fact, we might even put up a survey on ScaryCast to see how many people say they have one and how many people say they don't. So I'm going to first ask, of course, the co-hosts to take the survey, and if you gentlemen will, and we'll go from there. But, yeah, that was, I think, one of the most frightening things that ever happened to me. And then later that week, at the same exact moment, have either one of you ever had someone mirror what you say 4 or 5 words right back when you're saying it? Have you ever had that happen, Papa Stroh?
Actually, there was a time I was on set for this horror film called The Hollow Oak. And it was a scene in the woods at night where I was portraying one of the witch hunters, and they were executing a witch at night. And one of the lines I said, because I was kind of like the judge of the witch hunters, you know, guilty or not guilty, doesn't mean, throwing a verdict out there. Well, someone kept repeating my lines. And the reason how I knew that, because I thought I was the only one hearing it. Then the sound lady was like, guys, you got to hear this. So she did the playback. And there was a faint voice repeating everything, all my lines, right? So we're all looking around in the woods, in the forest there, to see if anybody else is out there, right? And we happened to find a graveyard just down a few feet away from where we're shooting on set, right? With unmarked epitaphs. And it was like at 3 o'clock during the witching hour that night too, when it was all going down. So it was evident we had some supernatural fans of the film watching on set during our lines, right?
Right, and that's amazing.
It was the EVP through the sound.
Yeah,
the sound lady got an actual EVP.
Is there any way we could get in touch with her? Or the filmmaker, and see if we could get that.
I could try. Get with the director. I mean, he was there that night when it all went down, because it freaked everybody else.
Right, and if I'm not mistaken, wasn't there a couple in the Jacksonville area that were involved in the film, and was it possible that one of them was involved in the sound?
Possibly so, yeah, because I know there was a couple that was involved in the film that, like, the wife, she was part of the makeup, and the other was with the directing, helping, you know, with the producing and directing, so.
Yeah, we'll see if you can get
the camera,
that. I mean,
That would be
a magical EVP to get and everything. And now, of course, the Queen of ScaryCast is here. Robin, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Good. Hi, Robin.
Robin.
Hey, guys.
We're just a kid.
Well, you guys were talking, and he was talking about getting that, you know, the vocals were being repeated. It reminded me, and Papa Stroh will remember this. Do you remember being in Somerville at the Comic-Con? And while
yeah.
we're all sitting there talking, and the spirit's still talking to us through the mic?
Yes.
That was awesome.
It sure was.
That was. So to let everybody know what Robin's talking about, Somerville Comic-Con was this past December, and we ran a Murder 123. We had Papa Stroh there. We had Robin there. I was there, and we had Tony Filosi was piped in through Skype or whatever. And what was very strange is somebody was talking to us through the sound system.
But it was the one that we were talking about. That's what was so bizarre about it. It wasn't even just a random spirit. It was actually the person that we were talking about. And I can't remember their name. But I remember at the time, they were answering questions. And I was like, what?
That's right. And it was the lady that was portrayed as being a murderer. And gosh, I can't remember her name either. But she was answering that she didn't do it. And we kind of concluded that she didn't do it either. So, I mean,
was the thing. She was not a good person. I mean, let's be honest. She wasn't a good person, but she is not the one that committed the murder. I think it was the one that she got framed for it because her and her husband had robbed all these people and stuff, but they never killed anybody. And they had some house where boarders came in, and they accused them of being the ones that killed them, and it wasn't them.
Right, and they ended up hanging them. And it was absolutely not them, and she got framed for it. Well, we as a small court at Murder 123 declared her innocent because we agreed that it was a takeover by the local government to get her property because they wanted to build a Navy base on it. And that's what we remembered. And you know what, Robin, I'm glad you mentioned that because I have that episode on video. I have the files for that, and we need to listen to that. And I think it would be
We absolutely do.
We really do. By the way,
Dina, but that's not it.
It was. And I'll think of it in a minute. Right now, I got to take a 30-second break.
That was her name. But.
It was. I'll remember it. I want to say thank you very much to PSC Nation, who hosts us on Friday nights at 11 p.m. VOC Nation, who's headed by Brady Hicks and stars many of the great wrestling personalities in the world, as in WCW Retro on Thursday night with Papa Stroh, the Maestro of Wrestling. We're coming on there. Papa Stroh, thanks for running VOC Nation on VOC Nation. Thanks for running WCW Retro.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
we're so glad to have you there. And then also on Friday night at midnight, that's why we will skedaddle after 1. And Papa Stroh, I'm going to let you do the plug for that when it's quitting time here on Scarycast, because you've got a special thing that you do for everybody midnight on Friday nights. We have the scary night. We have 11 p.m., which is Scarycast, and midnight, which is the Stroh Zone. You can tell us all about this one when we come up. So there's our plug. Big plug for the VOC Nation and WCW Retro and the Stroh Zone, and thanks to them for all of their help and support. We've been on VOC Nation about 4 years now, and thanks very much. Now, Devin, getting back to you, have you had any instances where you have either heard some voices or spontaneously said the same thing as someone else? Has that ever happened to you?
I haven't, not exactly like that. More like, you know, I would say something and then you'd hear something respond from another room, but you couldn't quite hear what it was, and then nobody's in the other room. That happened to me a couple times up at this house. We called the Hillside House. But nothing like what you guys are talking about. I would love that. That would freak me out.
That's interesting. So now it's called the Hill House, correct?
Hillside. It was on a street called Hillside, so we just called it that.
Okay. Was it abandoned at that time, or did someone live there?
So it was actually where the actor Raymond Burr used to live. But it's vacant now. It has been for quite a while. And I had a friend who was the caretaker of it for a year or two.
Well, now, has it just not been sold, or is it not for sale, or what? I mean, Raymond Burr was a gigantically popular actor playing Perry Mason back in the 60s.
Yeah, it's been sold to a movie producer guy, Harold Closer, and I believe he's trying to build a new house higher up on the hill, and so he's left that house vacant for now while he gets all the legal, you know, paperwork done to split it into two separate properties. Because I think he just wants to build a house higher up on the hill.
Oh, okay. Well, golly, it'd be wonderful to get to go there before they tear it down or anything.
I don't think they're going to tear it down. I think they're going to probably sell it, and then hopefully somebody will renovate it, because it's a big, great old house. It just needs some updating.
Needs some tender loving care, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
you start doing that, and
that
tends to set things off too.
Say that again, Robin.
When you start redecorating these older homes, you find a lot of people end up starting to get experiences because you're moving it around. Now, saying that, I at one time had a 100-year-old farmhouse that was completely renovated. They kept the bones of it and everything else was down, and they redid it. And trust me, there was a lot of activity. But you do find a lot of activity in these older houses, but then when you start remodeling and updating them, which has to be done, it really unsettles a lot of them.
Right. Well, Devin, is there any record of anyone seeing a ghost in there?
You know, I couldn't find any record, but I kind of tried to do my own investigation. I just don't think I knew what I was doing. But there's definitely, everybody could feel something in there. You know, I mean, it's an old house and it's in the Hollywood Hills. It's like, what are the chances that something didn't happen there, you know?
Or did he, I think he either died of cancer or the result of a stroke. It was one of the, I know it was a severe problem that he died from, and at least the best I can remember. And do we happen to know if he passed away directly in that house? If so, there might be some residuals there.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I think he might have had a place up north where he ended up retiring, but I'm not sure. You know, I don't know where he actually died. It could have been there for all I know.
Right. I mean, and those listeners that don't remember, Perry Mason was one of those popular shows on television for about 6 years. And then it wasn't, oh, maybe 3 or 4 years later, he came back in an NBC. It was about a private detective who was in a wheelchair. And he always solved the crime. I mean, that was an enormously popular show along with Perry Mason. And so if anyone doesn't remember Raymond Burr, he was about as big as they came as a Hollywood star in the 60s and early 70s. He really was, and he was heck of a name. You know, it was a big name when he showed up on all the game shows after his television shows were gone. The people loved him, you know, and all
right.
That. And so it was Earl Stanley Gardner of Mickey Spillane, who ended up living in Merle's Inlet down here in Myrtle Beach and died here. But, I mean, no, Raymond Burr was a gigantic name in television for about – And so, anyway, that's a great story. I'm glad you brought it up, because as we were talking about, you know, it's interesting as you talk about UFO stories and things that kind of go along with them. It's amazing. Lots of paranormal stuff seems to happen together. Is that, don't you agree, Rob?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does.
And I feel bad. There was a fellow that I interviewed a long time ago. And he had an experience with Bigfoot, and said he had an experience with the Mothman, and had experiences with other things. And I kind of didn't believe I just don't think I believed him. But I guess for me, I've had enough experiences with enough different cryptids. Heck, we've all had experiences with ghosts, I believe. And even just in Robin's house, going down to visit Robin and hearing something go running up the stairs and seeing a Bigfoot walk by the window as we're eating. I mean, that was
yep.
Not good
or
for my digestion.
Sit down on the couch and then watch a 12-pack of soda fly into the wall.
Oh, you mean what happened? The night of This is great. The night of the hurricane. So I'm sitting there, and Janice Carter, who's well known for having habituated with Bigfoot, her daughter is sitting there, and then
they weren't there, remember? They were gone. That was my granddaughter, Evelyn.
Yeah, it was your granddaughter. So we're sitting there, and I'm sitting in a chair. We're just chatting, and all of a sudden, there's this slam in this box that's half full, 12. It hit against the wall. I mean, it was amazing, and we both saw it and experienced it. Like, what do you do? I mean, well, it happened. I didn't want to touch it for just a little while, but you know, after that, I set it back up, and there we were. But yeah, it just right on its own, and so I guess Robin can successfully say she lives in a haunted house. How old is that house, Robin?
My house? It was built in 06. I think it's not all that old.
It's about 50. And a little girl there, and there's something else, whatever. But anyway, enough of that. Now, Robin, we were talking tonight. The topic of our show is look up in the sky. We've got UFO stories. Now, I'm sure that if you think, and not too hard, you might have a UFO or alien story you might could share with us.
How many do you want?
Two would be perfect.
Okay. I have, which one? Okay. I'm out in my yard one day, and I was talking to a fellow researcher on the phone, and I looked off to my left, and it was like 7:30 at night. I look off to my left, and I see this saucer-shaped thing, but it was the color of lava, like molten lava when it's hot. And it just glowed. The whole thing was that color. And it started coming down in my yard. And I'm standing out in the yard by the tree line because I had woods all around the house. And I'm talking to this person on the phone, and I look over and I see this thing. Next thing I know, it's been like almost 2 hours later. It was almost 10 o'clock, something like that. And I have no memory of anything in between. I just remember watching it come down to the ground. It was probably, I want to say, 10, 15 feet off the ground. And then I didn't remember anything until I came to again. And I'm standing there holding the phone. And I looked at the phone, and I'm like, what just happened? And so I put the phone to my ear, and I'm going, hello, hello. And nobody was there. So I looked down my call log because I didn't know what else to do. I didn't have any memory of who I even talked to till I saw the name of the person I'd been talking to on the call log. And I called him back and I said, do you have any idea what just happened? And he said, no. He said, I was talking to you, and the next thing I know, you were gone. He's like, I tried to call you back. I couldn't get through to you. So he said, I just figured you'll call when you can. And I said, no, a freaking ship came down in my yard, and I remember absolutely nothing. So I get off the phone with him, and it was so bizarre because it was like my body wasn't reacting, my mind reacted, and I felt like I was talking to myself in my mind, and yet my body never reacted. I very calmly walked into the house, and I had three teenagers at the time that were still at home, and I walked in, and I just felt like somebody had given me a sedative. I couldn't react to anything, and I said, everybody had showers, homework, and snacks done, and they're like, yeah. And I said, okay, get yourself put into bed. I need to lay down. I walked in the bedroom, and I laid down, and I'm laying there, and I'm going, number one, why are you not out there checking on the kids like you normally do? Two, why am I not reacting? Why am I not speaking the words, oh, my God, this is what just happened? And I couldn't. I flat out couldn't. And so I laid there most of the night, and I'm thinking everything in my brain, but I couldn't physically act on my thoughts. So the next day, I get up like clockwork. I get the kids. I don't say a thing to anybody about any of this. It was like somebody put a trance on me. I get the kids ready for school. I take them to school. I come home. I go through the motions for 3 days. I can think about it in my head, but I'm not capable of verbalizing it. 3 days later, I'm walking in the house, and all of a sudden, it was like this, somebody flipped a light switch, and the spell was off. I'm like hyperventilating, and I'm going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, what just happened? Oh, my God. And I wasn't scared as much as I felt like I had just broke through whatever was preventing me from acting normal. And for 3 days, the kid said I walked around like a zombie. I went through the motions of everything I normally do. Everybody's needs were met, but I hardly said a word. And I'm like, okay, now I remember it. Now I can talk about it, and there's nobody here because the kids are at school. I mean, it was absolutely crazy. I never did find out what happened during that missing time. Another time I was at home, I was laying in bed, and I was watching TV. I was 100% awake. I was sitting there watching TV, and I felt something, like I felt like something jerked me. And the next thing I know, I'm looking down and my house is getting smaller. And anybody that knows me knows I'm terrified of heights. I don't even get on the counter. And so I'm looking down and my house is getting smaller. And I look up and I see this silver ship, and there were little windows in it, and I could see little people in the windows. And then off to the side of the ship, it was like there was one of these little people, but they were outside of the ship floating there. And I remember screaming, the Bigfoot, I could see the Bigfoots down there. And I'm going, guys, guys, you know, somebody get me, because what's going on? And they were the ones that got me back. And they pulled me back with such force. I felt like I smacked into the side of the house. Next thing you know, I'm dropped on my bed. And, I mean, I dropped hard to the point where I flipped backwards and hit my head on the wall. I had a goose egg on the back of my head for 2 weeks. And I had the worst migraines. And I thought, I don't dare go to the doctor. How am I supposed to explain this?
I was pulled back by the Bigfoot from a UFO. Right. I can see what the doctor's going to say.
Yeah, right? I can't tell them that, and everybody's going to think I'm nuts. The kids, I landed so hard, it woke my kids up out of bed. They came running in the bedroom. Mom, Mom, what happened? Are you all right? Are you all right? And I'm sitting here with this huge knot on the back of my head and an ice pack. I mean, what do I tell them? I couldn't tell them. And then we moved here in South Carolina. It's not much better. I have pictures off my security cam of a beam of light coming down on my house from above the house, a cylinder of light coming down right over my bedroom from up above. Pat's pulled in the driveway and seen spaceships hovering over the garage.
Oh, wow.
I've come back from the doctor's, and it's been broad daylight, and I see stuff above the house. Or I'll be in the house, and we'll hear what sounds like some kind of engine, like a generator or whatever. And if you go outside, you'll see them up there. I had one video I took because the Foots told me to go out and look at the star that wasn't a star. And I went out there and I said, okay, I see a star. And they said, no, put the camera on. I put the camera on it and you could see it dancing all over the place. I told you, I'm my own little freak show.
It's all right. Papa Stro and I remember our first night there. It was interesting. Right, Papa Stro?
Oh, sure do. Unforgettable.
Unforgettable is right. We're going to put that in our book, On the Road, with Papa Stro and Dr. Sean. We've got probably too many stories, but that's always good. Well, yeah, I mean, we've all got stories. I guess that's why we're here together on ScaryCast and the evenings when we have Murder 1-2-3, because we have lots of interesting things that have happened to us, and I've had my share.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but
Please go ahead.
Of all the people out there that do report the UFO sightings and the abductions and everything else, I would bet everything I have that isn't even 1/1,000,000th of all of them. But people won't come forward because they don't think anybody will believe them. They're scared, so they don't come forward.
Yes, and so I can tell you that she's an American Indian author. She's a retired professor from Montana, and she stated that over half, from her experience in talking to them, over half Vietnam had experiences with UFOs or lizard people.
Yeah.
It's amazing. It's amazing. And she's, well, does a lot of Indian books on Indian legends and things like that. And she said that a lot of us had many, many experiences that we don't remember and don't want to talk about. Or I got enough that I've forgotten about some. I remembered a few extra ones tonight, just preparing for the show. But yeah, we've all had them. And so what I'd like to do, because we're getting close to quitting time, as they say in the furniture factories in Drexel, North Carolina, it's about quitting time. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share? And then I'm going to let us close with Papa Strode telling us about the great things that are happening Friday night at midnight. So first of all, Robin, you got any goodbyes or things you'd like to share with everybody?
No, I'm just enjoying the conversation and listening to everybody. I just think it's amazing because there's so much out there that we can't even comprehend. And we've always been taught that it's not there, and it is. You know, people, follow your instincts, follow your gut. If you see these things, don't think about what the public tells you you're supposed to know. Acknowledge
because
your experience. They don't.
Exactly.
All your experiences are valid. There are people out there that will talk to you about that, will let you talk to them, and will be there for you and accept your experience, because there's nobody out there that has the right to criticize anything anybody else goes through. That is their experience. They deserve to be verified. They deserve to be heard and not judged, because you don't know when it's going to happen to you.
Exactly. All right. Well, thank you very much. And we're always glad to have the Queen of Scary Cast with us. And Devin, what would you like to share with us as we head on down the trail?
Yeah, you know, this topic has really reminded me of that time I mentioned when I was a kid, and there was a lot of talk about UFOs in Russell County. So I've looked it up, and there's a book which apparently kicked off this whole thing of people talking about UFOs back home when I was a kid. It's called UFO Contact the Four, like the, and then the F-O-U-R, the four, and it's by a woman named Donna Butts. You know, just like Seymour Butts, but Donna Butts. But apparently an actual contact book that she wrote, and it's apparently very hard to find. So if anybody out there has a copy that they would mind lending me, I would love to finally read this book, because I was too young to really understand at the time what was happening. But now, thanks to you guys and the internet, I'm finding this out.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you something. Is this the lady that was from...
Donna Butts, yeah, she was from Russell, Kansas, which is where, that's where I was born. That's the county seat of the county I grew up in.
Well, is she still alive that we might could interview her?
I don't know. I never have heard of her until just now. I've been Googling it, and this book is on Amazon used, but it's for like $45.
But it might be worth it. It might be a good $45.
Nice. Well, I definitely have to read it now. So,
yeah. Well, and let's see if we can find out if she's still around and would like to come on our show. I think that'd be great.
That would be great. I will research this and bring it back.
Well, thanks, Devin. That's great. I definitely want to find out about this and see if we could interview Donna Butts from Russell, Kansas. That's wonderful. Well, thanks a lot. That's a great parting thought. And then I'll say, I'm going to turn my parting thought over to one of the stars of the VOC Nation, Papa Strode, about this coming Friday night. If you listen to us at Friday night, just in about 2 minutes, you can turn over and you can listen to Papa Strode and see the great things going on the Strode Zone. Tell us about it, buddy.
Well, this coming Friday night at midnight Eastern Standard Time, the Strode Zone returns on my official Facebook page, facebook.com/StrodeTheMaestro. And tonight's, well, actually Friday night's feature at midnight Eastern Standard Time on the Strode Zone will be none other than a classic 1960 film called Horrors of Spider Island. So please tune in.
Horrors of Spider Island.
Sounds good.
Lightning. All right, everybody. So if you're listening to this on Friday night on VOC Nation, go right over to Facebook.com/StroTheMaestro. Watch Papa Stro and Dorothy discuss the movie and then watch it. I know it's a great one. I look forward to it. So I want to thank all of our hosts. I want to thank Robin. I want to thank Devin and Papa Stro for being here with us tonight. Tony Felucci has a hall pass, and he is away for the evening. He'll be back next week. More murders, more paranormal, more everything on the one and only Scarycast. This is Dr. Johnson. We'll see you folks next week. Take care, but don't miss the Stro Zone midnight on Friday. Take care. Bye.
Take care, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Take care, everyone.
Au revoir. Take care. Bye.
Bye.